Hello, everyone. Welcome. Paula V here. Welcome to another episode of Why Am I So Happy? Joining me today is Michael J. Russ. Michael is an international best-selling author, speaker, trainer, musician, and world traveler. His latest book and keynote topic is called Zero Adversity TM, where he reveals a deceptively simple technique people can use to immediately experience more time, freedom, happiness, productivity, prosperity, and fulfillment. Oh my gosh, I just love that, Michael. I love it. I am so excited to hear more about your book and what you do and what you speak about. I would like to say a big welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much, Paul. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome, and I'm so honored to have you on the show. Would
Me
you
too.
like to share a brief bit of your background and history? What brought you to where you're at today?
I consider myself sort of a cosmopolitan citizen of the world. My father was in the Air Force, and we traveled all over the world. I'd lived in three countries for seven total of 7 years before I was even 15 years of age. And I started selling. I'm a persuasive personality. I mean, I believe people should really kind of understand who they are and what their traits are, particularly. And I'm a persuasive, so I started engaging in sales activity and when I was 15, actually 16, I'm sorry. And so for the last 30 years, I've been in the investment advisory business. When I first got into the business back in 1986, it really, really challenged me because it was a business that where I was actually the captain of my own ship for the very first time, and I mean the captain of my entire ship with no crew. I was everybody. Okay, I was the captain. I was the first mate. I was, swabbing the decks. I was doing everything, and so to speak, as a metaphor. And for me, it was scary. And because I'd had basically to be very disciplined, I had to depend upon my own attitude and self-motivation, something I'd already had, but I had to use it in a different way. And I was on 100% commission. I had no paid sick leave, no paid vacation. If I didn't come to work, I didn't make a living. And I did it in the way that I wanted to do it, with integrity and honesty and in a very ethical manner. Which means I built it a little bit, built my business a little slower. But I encountered some adversity. The adversity I encountered was self-generated. It's called distress, being in a situation that was beyond your control, perhaps, where you couldn't control every aspect of things. And then there was distress, the physical signs of stress, where I get in the morning and my stomach was torn up. The what am I going to do today? How am I going to make this work this month? Because every month I would wake up on the first day of the month, and I'd have zero income for the month. I'd have to create that income, cultivate that income throughout the month, and I'd end up with a paycheck at the end of the month. And I know most people that could never do that. They need to know how much they're making. To me, I saw it as an opportunity to a limitless opportunity, number one. As long as I could manage my state of mind. So for the last 30 years, over the last 30 years, I developed a process, a call it a method, so to speak, for approaching, for perceiving and responding and being able to let go of adversity. It allowed me to be more efficient, more resilient. Definitely happiness. To me, it's the key to happiness. As a matter of fact, it's been called that by people who've read the book, because happiness is obviously generated within, as you know. It's not
Yes.
something that you find from things outside of you. You
Yes.
can be happy with absolutely nothing. Many people in the world, there are many people, many examples of this all around the world, people who have nothing. They're walking 5 miles for water and every day, and they have only one meal a day or 2 meals a day, and they're still happy. Why is that the case? They're not
Yes.
driving a Ferrari. So the fact that I had to rely on myself and my own attitude led me to create this simple process for managing the adversity that I face in the morning. The conversation, my mental, my conversation, inner conversation, my self-talk. And so I created several books, I decided to sort of methodize these concepts so I could apply them myself easily and simply. And I just put them in the books. I have a couple of 6 books now, a couple of self-talk books that give a method, a 4-step process for managing, for assessing, and getting your self-talk together and aligning it with your goals. And zero adversity is sort of like the umbrella of this whole process, because your inner conversation is a huge aspect of the adversity that you create for yourself. So that's kind of where I come from. And now I'm semi-retired, and I'm speaking and embarking on a new project, which is to help college students these tools, these life tools, so that they can manage their way through life, started beginning at a younger age than I did.
Yeah. Oh, I love it, Michael. I love it. Beautiful, beautiful story, mm-hmm. and what you're doing, helping so many others. Let me ask you, please describe, what is zero adversity?
Adversity is a method, a technique, a method of approaching, responding, to events where the goal of which is to remain empowered and maintain your resources, your personal resources of time, energy, your state of mind, attitude, that sort of thing. Because what happens when you're happy, you'll know this, because this still shows about happiness. You're happy until you're not. And the question is, why are you not? Why are you suddenly not happy? Because something has happened. Something has happened that you have perceived as negative. And when you perceive it as negative, it writes the script for how you respond. And generally, there's a lot that goes along with that response. But generally, a negative perception leads you down that road. And what zero adversity does is it teaches you, number one, that there are 3 different ways you can respond. You can respond to an event positively, negatively, or in a neutral manner. Okay. It talks about, I describe the kinds of adversity. There's direct adversity, something that happens to you directly, and indirect adversity, like a Paris bombing. That's an indirect, or 9/11. That's an indirect adversity. It doesn't happen to you specifically. But you may know of someone who was in the building, or you may know of, through one degree or another, somebody who's been affected by it, mm-hmm. family or otherwise. So what I teach is basically the successful responses that you can make. There are only 2. So it's perceive. You have a choice about how to perceive, respond. There are 2 successful responses to every single event you'll ever encounter in your life. And you know that it's a successful response because creates and generates positive feelings and emotions within you, hope, optimism, love, empathy, compassion, kindness, happiness, fulfillment, joy. Yeah. These are the feelings and emotions that let you know that you've made the right move. And then basically I outline in the book 9 things you need to keep in mind in order to let go of things. And focusing on the how and the why is the biggest mistake people make. In terms of generating further adversity. They're never able to let it go. So this process can be used to not only clear past adversity, something that you've never been able to let go, to eliminate current adversity, and to actually prevent future adversity from managing your expectations and awareness and knowledge.
Wow. So manage our expectations. Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Expand on that a bit, if you would.
Let me give you an analogy. An analogy, because I'm a big golfer. So a lot of people play various sports of some kind. But if I go onto the golf course and I have an expectation that I'm going to shoot the best score ever, play my best round ever, that expectation might be a little bit misplaced based on the way I feel that day, my skill level that day. And so after the first couple of holes, if my play is not meeting my expectations, it can lead to anger and other negative emotions, associated frustration, that sort of thing, resentment because I'm not, beating myself up. It can lead to the degeneration of adversity, right?
Yes.
So I have to go into the round saying, you know what, What will be will be. I'll manage it a moment at a time. I want to remain in the present moment, do the best I can in the present moment, and that's my expectation. And then what happens, I release my attachment to the end result of whatever the final score is, but I'm going to focus on this, because when we project outward a result, a future result, and the journey towards that result is not meeting our expectations, it causes adversity.
Yes.
How can you be happy when that's what you're doing? Your expectation is, you know, I'm going to go to this meeting and find the love of my life. Well, is that a viable expectation? No. It's going to generate a lot of adversity within you. Just making that statement is a generator of adversity, and it'll happen very quickly because you're not going to meet, it's not going to be met, okay? So I like to say, futuristically, let's just be in the moment, be in the present moment. That's really what we have to deal with, is now. The future is going to be dictated by what we do in this moment, not based on something else. We create our intentions and we move from there.
Yes. I love that. Oh, you are just fantastic, Michael. And I love the golf analogy. I'm a golfer as well. And it's so true. We can go in so many different directions. And oh, I love it. I love it. Oh,
well, yeah, I've seen people implode that way.
Yes, yes. Well, everyone, we do have to pop out for a moment, but Michael and I will be right back. Thank you, Michael.
Sure. Thank you, Paula.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Michael J. Russ. He is the author of Zero Adversity. Oh, Michael, you've just been sharing such great wisdom with us. I'm so excited to continue. I would like to begin with asking, share with us, what are the benefits derived from practicing zero adversity?
One of the biggest benefits is that you get your time back.
Because
if you think about it, the big adverse challenges that we face in life, either that happen to us directly or indirectly that we experience, they don't come along every day. It's the little things that you eat up your time and that cause the frustration and the angst and the anxiety. We're talking about getting up in the morning. Perhaps for those people who have to commute, they're all happy and joyful because something happened that morning. They had a great conversation with their kids or interacting with their kids or their loved ones. And then you get in the car and there's an accident up ahead and there's a traffic jam you didn't expect, which throws off your scheduling. So it's the understanding that it's those feelings and emotions that in that particular circumstance, people they generate a journey to adversity, those negative feelings and emotions based on that. If I continue that example, you get back, you can use that time more effectively, more efficiently. Why don't you just turn on talk radio and learn something, or pop in a CD and experience something? You can listen to your favorite music, something that can, or for those people who can actually talk on the phone hands-free, you can call and rearrange your scheduling while you're sitting in traffic so that whatever you had planned is not going to be messed up or it can be rearranged. That's an effective way. Instead of getting caught up in the how and the why and being angry about the jam, that's it. That's one thing. Time is precious. We have 24 hours in a day, and much of the adversity you face is self-generated, either through your own inner conversation or by events that occur, small little nitpicky little events that happen to you, a loss of your keys, misplacing your cell phone, getting an unexpected phone call from somebody that gives you a little bit of bad news. Those things affect your not only your time, but your attitude, your level of happiness. This show is about being happy. Happiness is hugely affected by events, adverse events, challenges, situations, and circumstances. By the way, adversity, the definition of adversity is misfortunate, unfortunate circumstances, the situations that occur, the events that are misfortunate and unfortunate. And so when you practice through adversity, you get to be happier longer because you have a process that helps you deal with and efficiently let go of whatever the event has happened. So giving an example, just a very brief one. If I outline in my book a little example that really, really happened. I came home and I was taking something out of the car, my girlfriend's car. I had put both my cell phones on top of her vehicle when I took it out, took the whatever I was taking out of her car, went inside. Overnight, fine, everything's great. In the morning, I realize I can't find my cell phones. She's already gone to work. She's driven off with my two cell phones on top of her car. So that's for my business, right? I've got nothing. No way to, so you look at it, my first instinct is, oh, my God. You know, you yell and scream at the top of your lungs. But eventually, you have to take action. So what this particular process does is help you to focus on what you can do instead of what you cannot. You focus on what you can change instead of what you can. I can't change anything about the fact that my cell phones are all, I found them, by the way, out in the street, all cracked up on the main drag. Mm-hmm. I picked them up, and then I took action. I went to the cell phone store and had the phones replaced, right? Yeah. I called my insurance, and I didn't have a phone that day, but I had them overnighted. So I said, I've got no phones. I'm not going to be doing any business today. I'll tell you what I can do. I can use a landline to check my voicemail, and I'll go out and either play golf or do something constructive here so that I can maintain my happiness and my fulfillment and joy today. I'll change my focus, right?
Yes.
Just have to shift. It makes you more agile, right? More flexible, more resilient to things that go on. And that's a major, major benefit. Your attitude is more sustainable, happiness more sustainable, time more sustainable.
Yes, I love that. So basically, this scenario happened. Okay, so you react, and you can carry that anguish and that anger and upset with you all day, or mm-hmm. you can say, okay, this happened. What do I need to do from this moment on to resolve it?
Right.
I'm going to go do it. I'm going to resolve mm-hmm. it, and I'm not going to beat myself up that it happened. I've let it go, correct?
Right.
Yeah
correct. You're perceiving it. You perceive it. If you perceive that thing as totally and completely negative, then that's the script you're going to write, and you're going to get angry about it, frustrated. You're going to tell 100 people on social media and tell every friend you encounter that day. You're going to drag it out into perpetuity, and it's not going to be the only event that occurs that day.
Yes.
If you simply understand, I've got the ability to perceive this as something positive.
Yes.
Positive being something that I can transmute this situation into something else, transform it into something else. Okay, I transmute my feelings from negative to positive by changing my perception of the event. I didn't perceive the phone loss, breakage, as the worst thing ever. So I didn't go down that road of it's the worst thing ever, right? So my response was focus on what I can do instead of what I cannot. I can't go back and get the phones back and turn back the clock of hand of time. I have to move forward. And then basically letting it go is simple. I just let go of the event and moved on to something else.
I love it. I love that.
Until the phones arrive.
Yes. And tell us, can zero adversity, can that technique also be applied to clear past adversity?
Absolutely. Very simply put, if you're carrying something, I know people who carry the death of someone with them or some other sort of event with them, and they wear it like a badge of honor, and it's a negative event. And, you know, breast cancer research and the whole breast cancer, I have a friend who had double mastectomy. She had breast cancer. She's over it now. And she would refer to herself as a breast cancer survivor. And I said, you know what? That's not a good label for you. A good label for you is if you don't have cancer anymore, why aren't you just an incredibly healthy individual? It was something I dealt with, and I'm now incredibly healthy. See yourself as a healthy person, not as someone who is labeled as this thing. And it's a matter of perception. It's a matter of perception. I mean, that's on the far end of things. But I know people. I just had my one of my best friends, 33 years, just passed away from prostate cancer a week ago. And I found out when I was on a trip to California. And my method of working through death of he's the second best friend I've had die in the last 4 years. When you get to be above your mid-50s, over your mid-50s, all of a sudden there are health issues that happen to people that are very close to you that you've known for a long period of time. So I said very simply, this is the way I handle it. I quietly sit for a moment. I envision that person's spirit surrounded by white light. And I say to myself, I say to them basically out into to the universe, I'm happy to have known you. I loved your spirit and soul while it was here. I loved our interaction together. And then I go do something, perform a random act of kindness in their name.
Oh.
Could be something very simple. And because performing a random act of kindness is the quickest way to get through grief. And yes, I have a good cry, because it is something that deserves to be expressed. And but as far as carrying it forward, carrying it on into perpetuity, I can't change anything about what has happened. I can't turn back the hand of time. Dealing with how and why he passed away is inconsequential. The consequence is, and so me, it is actually helped me create, avoid future adversity with this. So with everyone I know or that I encounter, I use kindness, empathy, compassion, love, respect, integrity, honesty. That's the way I that's living authentically, and that is what the way I live, the way I encounter people. And all of my friends, girlfriend on up, I let them know on a daily basis how I feel about them. So if anything happens to them and they're no longer here, I don't have any regrets.
Yes.
I told him that I loved him the last time I was on the phone with him. I gave him a hug the last time and told him I loved him the last time I saw him, not knowing that he was going to pass away 2 weeks later. So it's those actions you have. You can't help prevent the future adversity of regret or frustration or anger or bitterness, that sort of thing. There's no room for drama, anger in a relationship. You are the one who changes it. It all begins with you, not the other person that needs to change. It's yourself. You can perceive it differently, and when you do, then you change the script almost immediately, and you can clear that adversity either by taking action to go and speak to that person and let them know how you feel. Forgiving yourself, that's an action. There are 9 different things you can do. Not focusing on the how and why things happen, because that's why you're angry, upset, bitter, because of the how and the why things occur. That is inconsequential again. So clearing it is a matter of changing your the way you're perceiving what has occurred.
Yes. Oh, Michael, I love this. You are just fantastic. I just love your wisdom. Could you
Thank
share...
You.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm afraid we're near saying goodbye. Could you
Sure.
please share with the listeners how they can order your book or contact you for a speaking engagement, anything along that line?
Yeah, I do consultations to help people clear adversity as well. Michael, you can reach me through my website, michaeljruss.com, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-J as in Joseph, Russ, R-U-S-S.com. I can be reached as well at inquiry@michaeljruss.com by email. My contact info is on my website, and my book is on Amazon. I only sell through Amazon. I don't even bother to do it on my website, but there's a lot of really great blog information. There's some great videos on my website as well. I do training and try to put through some trainings. I have a podcast called the Powerful Living Podcast on iTunes. I just attempt to get this information out there. So Amazon.com, look up Michael J. Russ, Zero Adversity. You'll find all my books under my name,
oh,
Zero Adversity included.
I love it. And everyone, I will be sharing another episode of Michael down the road. So keep your eyes open for that. I'm just so honored to have had you with us today, Michael. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
You're
welcome so much.
Welcome. Love, hugs, and blessings. And to our listeners out there, love, hugs, and blessings. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone. This is Paula Vale, founder of Wellness Inspired and host of the Why Am I So Happy show on VBS Radio. My passion is sharing the beautiful healing modality of Reiki with the world. I help you reach a new level of self-awareness and create a more confident and empowered version of yourself. Learn how Reiki will change your life. Go to wellnessinspired.com. When you live a life with love and compassion, you allow your blessings to manifest. Check out my Reiki training and Reiki practitioner mentoring program. And look for my soon-to-be-released ebook, Why Am I So Happy? At wellnessinspired.com and the paulavnetwork.com. Big hugs to everyone. Paula V. Everyone, welcome to Why Am I So Happy? Paula V here. I have a fantastic guest for you today. His name is Michael Temez. Michael is a certified holistic health coach who lost 105 pounds, lowered his blood pressure, reversed sleep apnea, and advanced gum disease. This was all accomplished without drugs or surgery. All of these experiences combined led Michael to discover his true passion in life. He is dedicated to guiding, empowering, and sharing the knowledge and wisdom he has acquired over the course of his lifetime. Drawing from his incredible health transformation, Michael published his award-winning book, Transformative Nutrition. His guidebook to healthy and balanced living is powerfully designed to create a permanent shift in the way people eat, think, feel, live, and love. I love that, Michael. I love that. I'm so excited to hear more of your history and what you do and the information you're going to share. I'd like to begin with just a big welcome and thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you so much, Paula. It's such a pleasure to be on the show.
Oh, I'm just so thrilled. I understand, Michael, that you experienced just a major 13-year health transformation in your life. Please describe that for us.
Yeah, it's long story short is I was in a dysfunctional relationship in my late teens that caused me to go into a depressive state in my life, and I ended up gaining almost 100 pounds due to repressed emotions from that experience. And I held on to this physical weight, not knowing that it was actually a more of a mental, emotional, spiritual imbalance going on in my body and in my life. And until I addressed those underlying issues, non-physical issues, then it wasn't until then that I was able to actually lose the weight and transform my lifestyle to a more healthier version of myself. Because of that experience, that dysfunctional relationship, I started eating a lot of fast food and a lot of fried foods, and I put on a lot of weight really fast, and I developed all these obesity-related illnesses in my body. And I got to the point where I had an aha moment when I was driving. I had sleep apnea so bad that I fell asleep driving and got into a car accident. And it was very scary. It was a very scary time for me. So that was one of my aha moments where I knew I had to do something, because I was only 19 years old at the time, and I was scared. So I started researching and reading, learned all I could about nutrition and holistic living, and I started exercising and really being mindful of what I was eating, how I was eating, why I was eating. And over the course of about a year, I lost most of the weight, but then I held on to about 30 additional pounds for about 10 years, not knowing that those 30 pounds were attached to the mental and emotional traumas that I experienced from the dysfunctional relationship. And as I was saying, it wasn't until I addressed those underlying traumas that I was able to lose the rest of the weight. But I've kept all of it off now. At this point, I've lost 105 pounds, and I've, through a lot of transformational work and the techniques and modalities that I cover in my book, using these tools, I was able to process all the anger and resentment and everything that I was holding on to from all this time. So I decided to become a health coach to have a credential behind my experience, my 13-year experience, to be able to coach people who are experiencing similar issues in their life, whether it be weight loss or dealing with holding on to mental, emotional stuff that's preventing people from reaching their goals. So that, in a nutshell, describes where I am and who I was and where I'm at now and what I'm up to.
Amazing, Michael. What triggered you to realize, with that last 30 pounds, to realize that that was more of an emotional connection, an emotional issue? How did you come to realize that?
It was basically realizing that I needed to look within for the answers. And that's one of the main things that's missing in the Western approach to healing, is that we're concerned with symptom management and we're not really looking at the underlying cause of the symptom in the first place. And it took me a lot of questioning myself, questioning my actions. So when I was reaching for potato chips or cookies or, you know, fast food, I started questioning, well, why am I going for this food when I know it's not going to nourish and sustain my body? What is coming up for me? What is underneath this? What is going on? So I realized that I was still stuffing emotions. I wasn't really stuffing my face with food. I was actually stuffing the emotions down deep into a dark place, to, you know, kind of sweeping stuff under the rug, pretending that these underlying deep-seated issues don't exist. And a lot of people do that these days. I mean, we're not inspired to really communicate our feelings. And when you really start communicating your feelings, that's when true healing can occur, because then you can really get in touch with what is going on underneath everything. So it wasn't until I started really authentically communicating this stuff and checking in with my body, checking in with my mind, my emotions, my spirit, and really figuring out what was causing me to really reach for this junk food instead of reach for something healthy or do something productive. So these are the things that really helped me transform that self-destructive pattern that I had created from holding on to all that resentment and anger.
Yes. What a powerful message, Michael. That is powerful. In your book, you encourage readers to listen to their body so that they can uncover the root cause of their health struggles. Explain this interesting concept and how our listeners can incorporate it into their own lives.
Listening to your body is the single most powerful thing you could do for any health goals that you have, because I like to put it very simple, and our body is kind of like a car in comparison. When you think about a car and we have a check engine warning light that comes on, it is our car's mechanism, our car's way of telling us that something is off and needs immediate attention. So, you know, we take it to the mechanic and have it repaired. Our body is designed, I mean, it's like a machine, you know, all these processes that go on. Our body lets us know something is off by manifesting or showing us a symptom. And it could be anything from like pain or inflammation, swelling, redness, to like anger, sadness, depression. I mean, these are all symptoms of something deeper, something more serious going on underneath everything. So in order to really understand where the symptom is coming from, we have to check in with ourselves. And in order to check in with ourselves, we have to question what is going on inside of our body, inside of our mind, our emotions, everything. So really, instead of, you know, running to the doctor for medication for every symptom that we have, maybe try getting present to what is going on in your life at that moment. What are you dealing with? Is there a lot of stress going on? Are you unhappy at your job? You know, are you in fulfilling and happy relationships? Are you okay with your financial situation? I mean, you see, all these areas are very intimately connected to how we feel and how we look. Yes. And a lot of the problems with fad diets and a lot of approaches to nutrition and healthy living is that they're mainly focused on our physical being, on our physical body. They're not looking at the other non-physical aspects of all these things that I'm saying, like your spiritual practice or your relationships or your career or your educational achievements, all of these areas. If one or some of them are imbalanced, they're going to affect our physical health. I see this with a lot of clients that I work with, and I've experienced it firsthand myself. And I had imbalances in several areas that were not necessarily physical, you know, related to the physical body. They were more of an energetic imbalance. And these are actually more powerful, actually more determining your physical health than physical imbalances to begin with. So, for example, like being overweight, right? I mean, that's obviously you're holding on to physical weight. But underneath that, a lot of the time, there is a lot of non-physical attachments to the reason that the person became overweight to begin with. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So getting to those, you know, underlying non-physical attachments is where the power lies in transforming that and losing the weight or reaching the health goals, whatever they may be.
Yes, yes. And you yourself experienced the death of 5 family members in an 18-month time period. How did those tremendous losses impact you health-wise?
They were another, turning point in my life, because this was after my health transformation of losing all that weight and reversing illness in my body. And it was kind of like another low blow. It was like, at the time when it was happening, I was like, are you serious? It was like, is this a cosmic joke? I mean, all the stuff that I went through with the dysfunctional relationship and then all the health issues that I had. And then now I lost my dad, my grandfather, 2 uncles and a cousin in a year and a half. I was like, really? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, I got into another depressive state in my life, and it took a lot of looking within. I mean, a lot of transformational work I had to do with myself. I had to do a lot of communicating, a lot of crying, writing, journaling. And these are some of the techniques that I recommend to clients, and I recommend that listeners incorporate into their life with any area that may be out of balance. For example, if someone may be dealing with a failed marriage or the loss and grief of a loved one, it's very healing to communicate this with someone that's willing to listen and open and willing to receive, because people really do care, you know. I mean, especially the people that we're close to, they really want to see you happy and you healed, and they're willing to open up to you. That communicating is very, very healing, and writing as well. Journaling, whether it be writing in a notebook or even maybe writing a letter and burning it and using that as a energetic way to cleanse the space. That's very healing.
Yes.
And I recommend these techniques to my clients. And in my book, I go into detail about some of these techniques that people can use to rid themselves of the emotional and mental attachments from the past to the present that's preventing them from being their most authentic and most vibrant self now.
Oh, this is just such great information, Michael. I am just loving this. We do have to pop out for a commercial, but we will be right back, everyone. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Paula V here with Michael Tamez. He is sharing some fantastic information on his history, nutrition, weight loss, inspiration. Absolutely fantastic. We are going to discuss your book a little more, Michael. I'm just really intrigued with the information that you give us in your book. It's beautiful. But I would like to mention something about something I saw on your website, and I absolutely fell in love with it. You state, stop dieting and start living. I love that. Well, please expand on that for us, and what prompted you to put that on your website?
That's actually my favorite statement, and the reason why I include it right on the homepage and right in bold on the beginning of my website is because we are diet obsessed, and every new diet book that comes out, every new approach or modality, it's like as if, you know, we're sheep to this new thing, and it's like it works for everyone. And I like to look at it as similar to religion or a religious practice, in that it works for some people and it just doesn't resonate with others. And our body is the same exact way, in that we are over 7 billion on the planet right now, and that's 7 billion different types of immune systems, seven billion different digestive systems, and 7 billion different sets of organs and upbringings and ancestral backgrounds. So the way one person digests and assimilates food is going to be different from the next person and the person after. You know, as this, you know, the quote goes, one person's medicine can be another person's poison. That is specifically why I firmly believe that diets in and of themselves are not a sustainable solution to weight loss and to reaching our health and wellness goals. Because, as I said before, diets are generally focused on transforming your physical health and well-being, which is great. But when you don't address the non-physical aspects that I was speaking about earlier, the mental, emotional, spiritual imbalances, then that makes an incomplete approach. So this is why I say that stop dieting, because when you're dieting, you're applying an incomplete approach to transforming your health and your lifestyle. When you start listening to your body, that's when you start living and experiencing your lifestyle transformation. When you start listening to your body, then you can uncover the answers that work for your body exclusively. Because we're 7 billion strong on the planet, that means that there's 7 billion different diets on the planet. So basically, every single person on this planet has a specific and unique way, or a way of eating and way of living and being, that works for their body, their mind, their emotions, their spirit exclusively. And that's the problem I see with all the diets out there. The approach is they have this blanket statement or this blanket claim that their proof or their studies or their case studies works for everyone. And that's just simply not true, because of how unique and individual we are as human beings. And that's why I really encourage people to stop dieting, stop counting calories, stop obsessing over proteins and fats and all this stuff, and just start listening to your body. Start checking in, because our body is really our most influential and powerful doctor. We were born with this innate, we have this innate ability to doctor ourselves if we just allow our body to communicate what it needs to tell us, what's going on, what's off in our body, what needs to be addressed, what imbalances we have. Our body's intelligent, and we just need to start listening to it a little more, because then we could put the diet books and the diets away and start creating our own diet and lifestyle plan based on what our body is telling us.
I love that, Michael. And something that I find fascinating and fun, as we progress, I have found personally over the years, as I become more and more nutritionally based and tuning into my body, our body will communicate. It's like certain foods that I used to love, my body does not even want them. And if eat it, my body's like, I don't want this. Isn't that just fascinating?
Yeah. And what opens up for people when they stop dieting and start living is exactly that. Things evolve constantly. I mean, we're living in a time period where I really firmly believe that we're living in an accelerated period of consciousness, not only with our body, but our mind and spirit and all our emotions are highly evolving very fastly. And with that comes a constantly changing and diverse, just our body. You might have been able to eat a certain food for more, all of a sudden you're having issues with it. That's your body's way of saying it's no longer serving you well, and you need to move on from that food or put it aside for another date or start experimenting with other foods, because I think it's really all connected with the spiritual evolution that we have going on, and all these symptoms of raising a vibration and consciousness. I mean, I think it's really intimately connected with the spiritual essence that we are. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yes. I love it. I just love that, Michael. It's fascinating and it's so true. My gosh.
I think it really resonates with a lot of people, especially people that are in tune with the energetic healing and, you know, the vibrational patterns that we're uncovering and discovering, and actually rediscovering, because we always knew this. We had this knowledge, but now we're re-downloading this information into our consciousness, and it's a pretty awesome time to be alive.
It is. It's very exciting. In your book, Transformative Nutrition, you mentioned that you got rid of your TV over 10 years ago. What compelled you to do that, and how does that relate to healthy living?
It was one of the most liberating things that I've done, because the TV is, if you think about the word programming, and, you know, when we watch TV, we're watching programming. And I'm leery on that. I mean, I like to look at etymology. I like to look at the origin of word, not only the origin of diets and foods and lifestyles and all this kind of thing and spiritual practices, but I like to look at the origin of words. When you break down the word programming, it is exactly that. It is a program that's meant to send you messages to download into your consciousness, into your brain, and into your subconscious mind. And if you just pay attention to even 5 minutes of every program on the programming tube, you will see commercials that are trying to influence you to eat fast food, talk to your doctor about the latest medication, drink highly processed light beer, get the latest pickup truck or sports car. You know, all these things that we have thrown in our face in these commercials, these advertisements.
Yes.
This is the programming that I'm talking about. And the media, these companies, they design these commercials with this understanding in mind, that they know how to effectively impact our subconscious mind, and they use it to their advantage to create a consumeristic based society that really just goes after these things without even thinking, without even questioning. Oh, well, I'm craving this right now because I just saw the commercial earlier and it looked really great, and now I want to get it, and I want to go out to the fast food place and get it, or I want to get this new smartphone because I just saw the commercial for it. And you know, it's just, when you get rid of your TV, you're cutting ties with that programming, and that allows you to create a new paradigm for not only your body, but your life, because you no longer are attached to this preconditioned, this preconceived programming, because this programming has an agenda, and this agenda, in my opinion, is not out for our higher good. It is out for the profits of the pharmaceutical industry, you know, the car manufacturers, the smartphone industry, all these industries that these commercials are on the programming. That's my take on why I think that people should, if not throughout their TV, really start minimizing the time watching TV, because when you start doing that, I guarantee listeners of this podcast, if they start, you know, just really wean themselves off the TV, the programming, then that it will open up new avenues of creativity in their life. I mean, I saw it for myself. People that I've recommended that to, that have reduced their TV time, have said, wow, I am now interested in drawing or painting or writing. And it's like, this is amazing, because this is what we need more of. We need more people delving into their creative potential instead of just watching mindless, mind-numbing television programming that's designed to show you what other people are creating in life, instead of people creating in their life. You know what I mean?
Yes, I love that. And programming, what a perfect description that is of what that is. Oh my gosh, Michael, that is so perfect.
I think it resonates with a lot of people, actually.
It does. We just have a couple more moments until we close. Could you please share your website information with the listeners, how they can contact you and order your book?
Yeah, definitely. The best place would be on my website at michaeltamez.com. That's michaeltamez, MichaelTemez.com. On my website, I have everything in one centrally located place to make it easy for people to find my articles. All my articles are written by me exclusively, 100% organic. I don't hire any people to create content for me. It's all written, and it's all out of love, all from my heart, all original content. So I put everything behind every article that I write. And my newsletter is as well written by me, and all the content is exclusive. So you can sign up for my newsletter. You can check out my articles. You can order my book, Transformative Nutrition, The Ultimate Guide to Healthy and Balanced Living. I have links to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. It's available in ebook, paperback. So my website has all of this information there, a lot of cool stuff going on. I also have some giveaways sometimes. So I highly recommend checking out my website if this interview resonated with you. And that, again, is MichaelTemez.com.
Oh, Michael, thank you so much. This has been so fantastic. I would really love to have you on future shows as well.
I would be honored to come back. It would be great.
You have so much to share. I'm very excited. So as we say goodbye, everyone, love, hugs, and blessings to our listeners out there. Michael, love, hugs, blessings to you. All of my gratitude today for this beautiful show.
Peace, love, healing, and light to everyone listening, and may you experience the highest version of your powerful self.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.